driving you home every weekday afternoon. This is 105 Drive with Julian Clover.
CamCon is Cambridge's premier multi-genre convention spanning anime, sci-fi, comics, movies and gaming. It was held this weekend at the Cambridge Junction and Neil Whiteside went along to investigate.
Assassin's Creed.
I'm Amy, I'm Shion from Number 6, it's an anime.
I'm Grell Sutcliffe from Black Butler.
I'm CL Phantom High from Black Butler.
I'm me.
I'm Charlie and I'm as Kagame Rin from Vocaloid.
Yay!
Okay, so how do you decide to do this? How do you decide your costumes? What is it about these particular characters that you decide, yeah, that's what I want to do? Is it just ease of finding a costume or...
Awesome!
Easy to make.
Obsessions with the games.
You made me cry.
I really like Hetalia.
I like the creepy costumes. I'm actually dressed as a man who dresses like women. Yeah.
There's a lot of that in Cambridge. So how many hours do you spend in front of your tellies or in front of your computer games, doing the books? How many hours?
Every hour I'm of the day.
Almost every hour of the day.
Okay, and up on the balcony, it's games aplenty, and I'm here with Levi from Gaming Cambridge. Levi, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
As a father of children who know these things, this is absolutely beyond me. There's just, talk us through what I'm seeing here. There's just screens upon screens.
There are quite a few screens here. There's seven Xbox 360s. They're all from my store. So we've got Marvel Avengers Heroes on the Kinect. So you've got some people throwing out some rather strange moves. And then we've got Forza Horizon. So it's a fastest lap competition. The person who wins gets an awesome goodie bag from Xbox themselves. Then you've got Skylander Giants for the kids to have a good little wander around and a good little bit of fire and beat a couple of people up. Then we move into the Nintendo section. We've got four 3DSs, which are running a really awesome Mario Kart competition. The top prize is there's only 20 of them in the country, so it's a really awesome trophy. And then you've got the Wii U, which has got all sorts of different software on. You've got Pikmin, Wonderful 101, Lego City Undercover, and then Nintendo Land. So there's quite a lot here. We move round a little bit further and we've got GameStick. GameStick is bringing sort of Android gaming to the big screen, so it's portable, which is really, really good. They're not released yet, so it's good to have them along because they don't often come to events. It's the first time I've seen them outside of an office. And then we've got a Super Mario Brothers Smash Brawl event, so that's pretty cool, just a little bit of tournament. And the last but not least, there's a 3DS Street Pass event, so you come along, get some puzzle pieces and join in, really. So it's good.
It's just amazing. I mean, there are so many different platforms, there's so many different ways you can game. It just seems that it's a never-ending demand and never-ending supply.
So yeah, there definitely is never-ending demand and the supply is just getting better and better. This year with the next generation consoles coming out, the new games just look phenomenal. We've got Ubisoft here today showing the best bits of the demo for Assassin's Creed 4 and Watch Dogs, which just look amazing. So the graphics are incredible.
So a lot of excitement about the PS4. I see you've got one here.
Sorry, yeah, it's their PS4 dev kit. It's not actually the PS4. So it's just what the reps from the software publishers get to bring along and get to show us really what they can do with the games that they've got in there.
And we're not far away now from the launch.
No, 29th of November. So it should be really exciting. We're open at midnight, and we actually be open 24 hours on that day just to make sure that we try and get through as many people as possible because it's going to be bedlam.
Is it particular to Cambridge? Because, I mean, I was amazed that people were just... It got to the point where it was prepaid tickets only and they're turning people away at the door here. You're going to get the same sort of thing, you think, with the launch of the PS4?
Just, yeah, the launch of the PS4 has gone really, really well. You know, there's been a lot of excitement, a lot of demand for it. We're onto our Phase 2 deposit scheme, so, you know, we can't guarantee first day consoles anymore. It looks like it's going to be really, really, really well supplied. With lots of stuff coming along, the games for it, everything, it just looks, the demand for it is incredible. Same with the Xbox.
How's it going to be for Christmas?
Busy. I'm scared, if I'm honest, but really excited. There's so much stuff coming that it's going to be phenomenal for everybody really passionate about gaming. There are so many different IPs coming for games, some really good new stuff, Quantum Break on the Xbox, really blurs the line between sort of gameplay and cinematics. So really, really good. And then you've got, you know, Watch Dogs with the hacking vigilante. It just looks fantastic. So there's some really, really good themes in there for games.
Excellent. So there's lots coming up for you. Obviously you're pleased with the way it's going here at the show.
So yeah, it's really busy. Really busy.
So we'll look out for you at CamCon 2014.
Sorry, then. Yeah, bigger and better. They need to give me a bigger room.
Levi, thanks ever so much.
No problem.
Okay, I'm here with Ziggy. Now, Ziggy, you're on the organising committee for CamCon 2013.
Yes, I'm the head organiser. I organised it last year. We've got a team of about 8 committee members working very hard, you can see. And it's all going very well. And yeah, quite manic, but we're really enjoying ourselves. We've sold out already, so we're very excited.
I was going to say, you sold out really early on this morning.
We did. Literally, we've had to turn people away, and people haven't taken it lightly, but we say, book in advance, because this is what happens. We sold out, so we're doing well.
So will you change things for next year? Will you change venues, or?
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, the thing about the Junction is it's just so perfect in every way. It's got the Travelodge, it's got the, like, you know, the supermarket, it's got the cinema and everything going on at the same time. So, you know.
Okay, what's changed this year from last year?
Well, we're double capacity because we've hired out the other side of the Junction, so we've got that side of the Junction done as well. We've also, much bigger, got Cineworld in action happening with the gaming, happening with the screenings. We've also got our upstairs gaming run by Game, much bigger than last year, much bigger capacity, much more going on, and just double the fun.
A lot of people saying that, you know, it's great to get the industry people here as well.
Yeah, we're very lucky to have them. I mean, actually, they approached us. We had Game getting all the companies actually approaching us. It was actually that working there, so we didn't actually have to go out there and get them, which was a big shock. It was a massive shock, and we're just so delighted to have that kind of contacts.
It's amazing it hasn't happened in Cambridge before. What gave you the idea?
It literally came from a small idea we had in Brighton, which we thought, we were just talking with a group of people who already organise anime conventions, similar sort of things. And I said, why hasn't there been one in Cambridge? And we just talked about it, and we thought it might be a very good idea. And we were surprised, because it's like, you know, it's like all the artists live here, and it's just amazing to actually do it. And it just turned out to be a really good idea. It all came from that one Facebook group. So it's just exploded, and you can see it's just massively mad.
How much time do you actually get to do gaming or cosplay, or what's your take on it yourself?
Oh, I get involved with all of it. I cosplay, I game, I, you know, watch the panels, I'm doing the fashion show and stuff like that. So I'm all across the board, really. I get involved as much as I can. Obviously, I'm very busy. I do very busy with all the organising. That says my priority, but I do enjoy it. It's just amazing to have this happen, which we planned 12 months in advance to finally be in place.
And you've got loads of events going on through into the evening, haven't
Absolutely,
you?
Absolutely, yes. We've got Psycho Candy and J-Pop Go being club night in the evening. We've got like loads of panels going on. We've got gaming going on, May Cafe. So stay all day, because there's so much to do.
Okay, so people should keep their eye on your website for next year to make sure they get tickets and don't
be
disappointed.
Yes, please book it. We've had to turn people away, and people haven't taken it lightly. But please, so quick in advance. There's nothing we can do. If we sell out, we sell out. So book in advance. Get your tickets as soon as you can.
Glad to hear it's such a great success for you.
Thank
Enjoy
you
the rest
much.
Of your day.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Well, look who I found just outside the Junction wandering around. It's EJ from Let the Geek Out. Hiya.
Heya.
So, this is really home turf for you.
It really is. I love it here.
There was one last year as well. Did you go to that?
I didn't. I've only just heard about it this year.
And what's in it for you?
There's a load of games. There's Assassin's Creed Black Flag about. I'm on the hunt for that. And there's some really cool wall scrolls and Yu-Gi-Oh cards. Everything geeky is here. It's great.
And is that it? It's not just the games. It's all the stuff that goes with it, the paraphernalia that goes with it.
Yeah, you should have seen me running around the venue, just at all the stalls, like a headless chicken. I was amazed by everything.
A lot of manga in there as well, wasn't it? Which and a lot of people taking a lot of interest in Yashin Lee and all the artists in there. Is that not your thing?
Or? No, I like meeting the artists. I've got loads of manga at home, but I thought the collection was a little bit missing stuff. A little bit.
Okay, so the big thing for you is Assassin's Creed, is it?
Not only that, but Assassin's Creed is my game. It's like my favourite game. I like seeing the cosplayers as well. It's great to come in here. You get to see everyone dressed up.
There's some people who kind of find a fez and call themselves Doctor Who, and there's others who must spend hours.
My friend's dressed as Doctor Who.
But no fez.
No, he doesn't have a fez.
Okay. Well, you were thinking about doing it, but you said you couldn't.
No, I was going to come as the Crow, like comic version of the Crow, but I decided against it because I didn't have enough time to get ready.
Okay.
So a lot of hours and makeup for that.
All right. What's happening with Let the Geek Out?
We start on September 19th at 9 p.m. just before Renegade Rock.
Okay, and what's that going to feature?
Loads of video game music and occasionally anime. We'll do a review of CamCon on it as well, and we should have a guest coming on speaking from Game as well to talk about the new releases coming up and that. So it should be good.
Excellent. EJ, have a good time. Thanks a lot.
Same to you. Nice seeing you.
Neil Whiteside chatting to EJ, that ending his report on CamCon, the multi-genre convention that took place over the weekend at the Cambridge Junction. Don't forget that new show that EJ is going to present, by the way, Let the Geek Out, I think it's going to be on Thursdays, alternate Thursdays, from the 19th of September here on Cambridge 105.
Driving you home every weekday afternoon. This is 105 Drive with Julian Clover.
The Pembroke Players are getting ready for the Two Gentlemen of Verona in Ely, then Cambridge, and then Tokyo after that. Matt and Izzy are here from the Pembroke Players to tell us a little bit about it. Hello, both.
Hiya.
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks very much for coming in. So, you're associated with Pembroke College. How long have you been around for as a group?
So the Pembroke Players has been around for a long time now. We've got a lot of sort of famous alumni, and the Japan Tour is like a sub-branch of it, open to everybody in the university who can audition and be part of it behind the scenes. And we've been going now for 7 years.
So the tour is going to go, it's been 7 years for the tour, but the organisation itself has
a few decades.
I noticed, I was looking earlier at your website, Eric Idle, Peter Cook, Bill Oddie, Tim Brooke Taylor, all members.
Yep, they're all part of the Pembroke Players at some time.
Some sort of throughput to the Footlights. Were these guys in the Footlights? They must have been.
Yeah, I think so. Certainly. Yeah, they started with college drama and then kind of graduated to the university comedy scene.
Move across. And you're performing, first of all, in Ely. Whereabouts in Ely are you going to be doing
that? So performing in the Cathedral. In Ely, so that's on the 12th of September, yeah.
And then after that, at the Round Church?
The Round Church along Bridge Street, yeah, on Friday the 13th and Saturday the 14th.
Okay, so two chances to have a look at that. We'll talk about the Japan leg of things in a moment or two. But I'm interested in what you've done, if anything, with the production, because there's all sorts of variations, isn't there? Some people do it modern dress, some people keep it as it is, some people do something in between, set it in the 1890s. What have you done?
Basically, I suppose we have kind of two main concepts. The first being that we're taking ideas from traditional globe performances. I'm the assistant director, and Charlie, the director, is busy in rehearsals at the moment. Both he and I have been very much inspired by, you know, there was an all-female Taming of the Shrew recently, and it was all done very traditionally. But obviously the other aspect of that is that it was all female. What we're doing with this one, as well as making it traditional, is cross-casting the whole thing. So boys will play girls will play boys. So those are our two kind of broad concepts. So going very traditional, and actually I suppose in original performances boys did play girls, but now we're just crossing. But I suppose that, yeah, we're just kind of playing around with those ideas and cross-casting the whole thing. I think it's a really exciting idea, because it kind of draws attention to all of the ideas about identity and the construction of identity and the kind of performativity that they had in the court setting in Renaissance times, really.
And the language, does that stay as Shakespeare wrote it?
Yes, we've cut various parts of it, but the language is staying exactly the same. I think Charlie's attitude, which I really love, is, well, about the whole show, but also about the language and our approach, is really one of irreverence to an extent. So we're just having loads of fun with it. And it's a very physical production. We're really going for it. If one of the lines doesn't feel right, then it's gone.
Oh, out it goes.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, we're not cutting the whole thing.
Without destroying the plot, of course.
Yeah, no, exactly. But I think, I mean, it's a lovely plot. It's a bit wacky, really.
Well, what is the storyline, for those who aren't familiar with this one?
Okay, well,
just briefly. It's don't have to.
Basically, to put it very briefly, you've got two sets of lovers, really. The problem is that one of the guys decides he fancies the other guy's girl and, you know, basically gets rid of the other guy, gets him banished, and tries to woo the other girl. His girlfriend then finds out, and it all goes terribly wrong, but miraculously it's all resolved at the end. But really our approach is questioning, as many performances do, whether it actually is resolved and the implications for everyone involved.
It has to be said, when people say things like, oh, if Shakespeare was alive today, I would be writing for EastEnders, it's kind of true, really, with plot lines like that.
Well, maybe the plot lines. I would like to think Shakespeare's language...
I think it would have done them a little bit better.
Yeah, I think it might not be doing him quite enough credit, but in the sense that it's a really gripping plot, although I don't actually like EastEnders especially, but I think, yeah, plot line-wise, it could be said to be soap opera, yeah, definitely.
Can I say, just say for the record, I don't watch EastEnders either.
Okay.
One of those little analogies, just plucked out kind of views for it. Have you done much Shakespeare before as a group?
Well, we've various people in the company have worked with others because we're from across the university, but I have never done Shakespeare. I've done Shakespeare at school, but I've never directed Shakespeare, so this is really fun to have a go at, and having Charlie as a director is wonderful because I'm learning so much from him. He has his approach in rehearsals is amazing. He kind of has read so much, and he's really into physical drama and workshopping things.
And by physical drama, what do you mean in that regard?
Well, sort of lots of devised physical theatre and lots of exercises where you just, you know, you might give two actors just a task to do and they have to carry out their whole conversation while both doing a very menial task, or you know, playing different games which really make the actors think about the other person in the space and are very aware of their own movement within that space. Mm.
That's interesting, because I've seen production, for example, In Situ, a group, Cambridge group I'm sure you're familiar with.
They've done
stuff at the Leper Chapel, for example.
Okay, yeah.
And very stripped back drama, that.
Yes.
It's hardly a prop going on
there.
Maybe one at the beginning for effect. That sounds very different to the kind of thing that Charlie's putting together.
Yeah, and well, I think there isn't actually a strong emphasis on set, but what's really exciting about it is that all of the set and all of the props will actually be, there'll be nothing on stage right at the start when the audience come in, but the set, just as, you know, all the characters' genders are being kind of constructed, all the characters will come on, they'll get dressed in front of us, and we'll put the, obviously they won't be,
I was going to say, with this cross-dressing going on, it could get very confusing.
Yeah.
It's not that kind of
point, but they'll be, you know, they'll basically be setting up the whole stage and all of the props as part of the production, so it's not like a kind of 19th century production where we have to have everything, you know, exactly as is. It's, we're accepting that this is a performance and we're exploring that, and so the props will all be brought on by the actors, and all the actors will be on stage all of the time and really just kind of playing around with the ideas of...
Is it a tricky sort of logistical operation as well? Because if you're having it in Ely and then in Cambridge and then obviously shipping everything out to Tokyo after that, at making sure that, well, start off with, frankly, the props don't go missing.
Yeah, well, I think that will be a problem for Matt and I to
yeah,
worry
this
about.
This is why I'm grateful the production actually has a real emphasis on the characters and the movement and the physicality, and we've got some live music in it as well.
Oh,
so
yeah,
we're keeping like the set and the props quite simple. Thankfully, there's a bit of a constraint of it being a touring show, setting up in many, many different venues. I think we're performing at 12 different venues. So
yeah, we're just lucky to have sort of, this cast is so talented and they're so enthusiastic and so good at all this music, which I should have mentioned. So with all of that, I mean, to be honest, you don't need too much beyond that. Though I think we are going to have slight issues when it comes to weighing costumes to fit in our... Yeah.
In terms of casting, because obviously being college-based, you're going to have a bit of a throughput. You have like a natural turnover, if you like. I presume every year as some people leave, new people come in, and a few presumably who can work on it for a couple of years whilst they're here studying.
Well, actually, I mean, it's college-based in terms of kind of our... Matt is from Pembroke, our tour manager. But other than that, like Charlie and I, neither of us go to Pembroke, and then we open the auditions to everyone. So it's sort of, we've got a mixture of, some people have just graduated, so this is their final Cambridge project, and then others, you know, we have someone that's just finished her first year, lots of second years actually.
Every year it's basically a completely different ensemble that then kind of like takes up the roles from the previous year and sort of runs with it and does something slightly different.
Because the touring you've done for several years now, I think. You mentioned in the beginning, 7 years?
Yeah, 7 years and seven different plays. So this is why sort of now we're doing a slightly different production. The most obvious Shakespeare ones have actually been done already. They've done Tempest, Romeo and Juliet, Hamlet, they've done those. So we're doing something a little bit different this year. And so, we just get a completely different cast and sort of production team every single year.
Yeah, and I sort of like that. At first I thought, oh, Two Gentlemen of Verona, I don't know that at all. But actually, it's really fun having no expectations about a show, or very few, and then we can just really start from scratch and not worry about kind of expectations.
People's preconceptions
exactly.
It's a blank canvas.
Yeah, what do the Japanese think of Shakespeare?
Enthusiastic. We're mainly performing to university students who are studying English, so they're very grateful as it can form part of their course. And I think there's a bit of an intrigue. It's sort of a quintessential British thing, so I think it's a cultural exchange in that respect.
And so they quite enjoy seeing, two sides of it, really, the old-fashioned styling, the old-fashioned language, but obviously, is there a chance for you guys to mix with the students afterwards as
well? Yeah, so we're running workshops with them as well, actually. So some focused on language, the production itself, and then some British culture stuff as well. So we do get to meet and sort of greet the students as well.
And then hopefully go out with them in Tokyo afterwards.
Yeah, we're relying on them as our evening
your tour guides for whatever the night has to offer. So how long are you going to be over in Japan for?
We're out for 3 weeks.
That's quite a while, really, isn't it? It's completely... I haven't been myself, but I know from friends who have been. It really is very much a culture change.
Yeah, we're all expecting it to be very different. It should be quite an exciting project, definitely. But
we're looking forward to the sushi.
Yeah, the food. And when I asked the cast what they're all looking forward to, all of them said the food.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be the big deal. But yeah, 3 weeks and we're filling in 7 performances. So it's going to be quite busy. We've got the workshops as well. So.
And do you have a point person or somebody out there to guide you round to make sure that you get on the right train? Because the language is a little bit indecipherable,
that's Matt,
isn't
really.
It?
Yeah,
Matt's
unfortunately, that falls on my head. Yeah, I haven't been to Japan before, but unfortunately, the logistics and making sure that we get the right train and stuff is on my head. We have got a contact out there, James Sharp, I should mention, who was part of one of the original tours and now lives out in Japan as a lecturer. And so we've been like using him as a point of contact and point of information.
I see your T-shirt has some Japanese on it. I'm sure that's going to be very helpful.
Yeah,
as well.
I'm wearing a super dry T-shirt. Yeah,
other T-shirts are available.
I'm not sure how accurate the Japanese is on it.
Interesting. Get someone to translate it back. I always remember the story. It was Chinese, but somebody I knew who worked for the BBC in the press and communications department of the Chinese service, and her business card says, you know, head of communications, BBC Chinese service.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, when you flipped it and saw the Chinese version on the other side, and it was translated back again, it said head of propaganda.
Slightly different.
So you might need to be careful on that one.
Sure.
It could be a bit of an issue on that. But, best of luck with performances, both here and overseas as well. If somebody wants to go along, you've got a website for people to book tickets and find out about the various performances?
Sure. So for the Ely Cathedral one, you can book tickets on the Ely Cathedral box office website, or they've got the telephone number on their website. And then for the Round Church one, you can get the tickets from adcticketing.com, or you can ring the box office on 01223 300 085, or you can also buy tickets on the door for those two performances on the Friday the 13th and Saturday the 14th of September.
And once you're back, you'll be performing at Corpus, I think.
Yeah, we're doing a home run at Corpus Playrooms between the 15th and the 19th of October.
Okay, well, Izzy, Matt, thank you both
thank you very much
for coming into Cambridge 105.
Thank you.